Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Just win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to recap day number three of the NFL draft, the final day, rounds 4 through 7. And so for that, we bring in our friend who is the editor over at JetNation.com, Mr. Glenn Naughton. Glenn, what's up, brother?
Well, not much, Scott. You know, just wrapped up the 2024 draft. So we're going to have a lot of digging to do on some of these UDFAs that we're not all that familiar with and mull over and the decisions Joe Douglas made over the last few days.
Yeah, for sure. But before we get to that, let's start with the news that involves the Jets that wasn't directly related to the picks that happened today. And we will start with the trade of John Franklin Myers. Jets get a sixth round pick in 2026 from the Denver Broncos for John Franklin Myers. A lot of deals with Denver this offseason. I know a lot of people were upset about this deal. I like John Franklin Myers. He's a good player. The problem is, once they got Haason Reddick, I think everybody realized or should have realized that his days were numbered, because there's only so much money you can spend at that position. There are only so many snaps to go around. And so you had to figure that John Franklin Myers was going to be the odd man out. The Jets free up some much-needed cap space here. Now they can pay their rookies. John Franklin Myers was a great pickup off the waiver wire a bunch of years ago. He played well when he was here. By all accounts, a good teammate. Everybody liked him. But unfortunately, something had to give here, and John Franklin Myers was that something. So he moves on to Denver, and the Jets now will have Haason Reddick and more snaps, you would assume, for the combination of Michael Clemens and, more importantly, Will McDonald.
Yeah, you know, you hate to lose a player of Franklin Myers' ability for, let's face it, they got virtually nothing, a late day three pick in 2 years. You know, I understand the reasons were financial, but my hope when they got Reddick was that if you give Reddick a new deal, you give JFM a new deal, you give DJ Reed a new deal with low year one cap hits, and you could probably free up a fair bit of cap salary cap space. But instead, the Jets opt to move JFM to the Broncos for really just pennies. And I think It's funny. Of course, as luck would have it, myself and my co-host Dylan Terriman were saying literally minutes before the trade what an underappreciated player JFM was by the fan base. And I was saying I was going to do a film review on him and pull up all the big plays he made. And I was going to do it after the draft because I was waiting in case something happened. Sure enough, something happens. You lose a guy who you could pencil in for 50 quarterback pressures every year, who can play inside, can play outside, and you give him away for a future six, and you hope that Michael Clemens can develop and give you something.
Unfortunately for the Jets, John Franklin Myers, 28 years old, making quite a bit of money. And so this being a salary cap dump, there wasn't going to be much they could get in return. As you said, it's a shame to lose a player who was so consistent and a really key piece of that quality defense the last couple of years. But unfortunately, it is what it is. The Jets had to take what they could get, and now they move forward. And they move forward with Elijah Vera Tucker, a player who has, from a quality standpoint, been really good so far in his career. But unfortunately, the injuries have piled up for young Mr. Elijah Vera Tucker. That's why there was some question as to whether or not the Jets would pick up his fifth-year option. In the end, they did pick it up. And I think the difference between him and Mekhi Becton is, even though Elijah Vera Tucker missed a bunch of games, he didn't miss all of them the last 2 years, but also more importantly, in addition to the versatility that he has in playing guard and tackle, he's a player that the coaching staff loves, the front office loves. Mekhi Becton obviously was pushing the boundaries quite a bit by criticizing the coaching staff, criticizing the front office. I don't think there was a lot of love lost between the two sides, and so they weren't going to pick up that fifth-year option on top of the durability issues. But with Elijah Vera Tucker, that's not the case. They decided to pick up the fifth-year option. So he will be here at least for another year beyond this one.
Yeah, I think in a nutshell, you could say the biggest difference was Elijah Vera Tucker didn't get hurt and then do an interview and blame the team for his injury. listen, I was a big Becton guy pre-draft. I hyped him up after the injury saying I thought he was going to bounce back because he was dropping weight, but he wasn't dropping it quickly enough. And some of the public stuff he did, I really thought when he did that interview that I've referenced a few times on my show, the Glauber interview right before the start of the season, when that dropped, I just said, whoever allowed him to do that interview, he's got to get them out of his inner circle. And it couldn't have been a more ill-advised thing. So AVT and Mekhi Becton both have battled injuries, but AVT has been the model citizen, whereas Becton has been, he maybe has some growing up to do, perhaps.
Glenn, with all that out of the way, let's jump into the draft. The Jets had three picks to start the day in the fourth round, and they ended up only picking once in the fourth round. They traded down three times. It was pretty frustrating because every time you thought the Jets were about to make a pick, here comes a trade, and it pushed it back, and it pushed it back, and it pushed it back. So if you had other things to do or you were waiting on that, you waited a lot longer than you expected. One of the picks got traded away for a third rounder next year. That was Detroit. Another pick got traded out of the fourth round for two fifth round picks. Ultimately, they only made one fourth round pick. It was Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. Big bruiser. And a very productive running back as well. This past year, his numbers dipped a little bit, but there was a scheme change there. A lot of people think that was the reason. The Jets really needed somebody like Braylon Allen, and it doesn't speak well, unfortunately, for the chances of Israel Banikanda trying to do something with this team going forward, and it really doesn't speak well for him what happened later on. But Braylon Allen does a lot of the things that we heard Israel Abanikanda couldn't do, including blitz pickup. So he'll come in here and presumably be the number two back behind Brees Hall. I don't know if he's going to get a ton of touches, but he'll probably be the short yardage back to start out. And whatever touches he does get, he'll make count because he is a very physical running back.
Yeah, I said during our show that a couple of years ago, I sent a friend a clip of a pair of running backs who I really wanted to watch grow through their college careers. One Blake Corum and the other was Braylon Allen. Really loved Braylon Allen at Wisconsin. Powerful runner, really good contact balance, explosive out of the blocks. You know, if I had to find something to knock, and this isn't really a knock because if a guy gets a 60-yard run, it's a 60-yard run. Did see him get caught from behind a few times, but that's what happens when you're his size, right? I mean, it's great that you can hit the hole and break away from the defense, but that's tough to maintain for 60, 70, 80 yards at his size. But the Jets could use a power runner. They really haven't had a good one for quite some time. So he adds a dimension to their offense that they didn't already have. And again, as I've mentioned on our show as well, if I'm not mistaken, Emory Hunt of CBS Sports, who we've had on a couple times pre-draft, had Braylon Allen as his running back one going into this class.
The Jets made their first pick in the fifth round at number 171. They traded up from number 190. They had gotten that pick in a trade down earlier when they went from number 111 to 124. That was their first trade down in the fourth round. They took that 190th pick and moved up to 171 and grabbed Florida State quarterback Jordan Travis. And this is an interesting pick because Travis is a guy that the Jets really had their eye on. You remember a lot of people were making hay out of the fact that when the Jets were in the building for voluntary workouts, when Aaron Rodgers was there, that Brock Bowers was in attendance visiting the Jets. Well, you know who else was there that day? Jordan Travis. And he got the opportunity to meet with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Aaron Rodgers helped screen him and see if he was the right guy. And in the end, the Jets pulled the trigger and grabbed Jordan Travis. We knew they were going to go with a quarterback at some point in this draft. We're going to have more on Jordan Travis over the next couple of days and weeks because there's a lot to dig in with him. But I did want to read this for my friend Nate Francis, who's a Florida State alum and who'd been texting me since last season about the Jets potentially getting Jordan Travis. He wrote, and let's bear in mind, by the way, Nate is a tough dude. He's a Marine. I cried a little, I'm not going to lie, but I'm so happy for Jordan. The fact that he gets to go to the Jets, the team I root for in the pros, just too much. He carried FSU football on his back and elevated it back to where it should be after many years in the wilderness. You'll always hear him talk about championships, and he just said the same thing about the Jets to the media. He's a playmaker, and he's coming here to try and help the Jets win championships. Now, I did hear people say that this was a huge steal for the Jets because if Travis wasn't hurt, he would have been a first or second round pick. A couple of things about that. First of all, he is hurt. And so, of course, his stock was going to drop a little bit. He's recovering from that injury. He's expected to make a full recovery, but he's still recovering. Also, he was not going to be a first or second round pick, maybe a third rounder. There's some really good athleticism there, smart kid, a leader, all of that. He was not going to be a first or second round pick. He's not that caliber of prospect. But to get him in the fifth round, this was a worthy swing, a worthy roll of the dice, because Jordan Travis does have ability. He is a really good athlete. He has improved every single year. He's a guy that in college did a really good job with that Florida State program after transferring. And as Nate said, bringing them back to where they should be, where people recognize Florida State the last couple of decades, where they really became a powerhouse in college football. And we do know that if Jordan Travis hadn't gotten hurt, Florida State, who were undefeated and got robbed, definitely would have been in the college football playoffs. So here's a guy that probably vibed with Aaron Rodgers already. We know the coaching staff liked him. We know the front office liked him. And now he'll come in here, he'll heal from his injury, and he'll get the opportunity to learn behind Aaron Rodgers and maybe give the Jets somebody to look at down the line. Do I think this means that Jordan Travis is the lock, stock, and barrel quarterback of the future for the Jets? No, I don't. He's a fifth-round pick. So let's just keep that in mind. But for a fifth-round pick, this was as worthy a swing as you're going to have at the quarterback position. We'll see if it works out in the end. But at number 171, the Jets do get that quarterback that they were alluding to earlier in the week, wanting to develop behind Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, this may have been my favorite pick of the draft, honestly. All the talk in recent months about which sort of mid-level quarterback would the Jets take outside of the early rounds, I'd mocked him to the Jets several times. I think I think everyone agrees he would have gone earlier than this, if not for the injury. But you get a great leader, you get a guy with really good accuracy who protects the football, doesn't have a howitzer. He's not gonna he doesn't have the strongest arm in the class, but he can make the throws you need him to make. And as a guy that you're getting him even later, I thought they'd maybe grab him with pick 111, somewhere in that range, when that was, when, you know, when we thought that was an option. But to get him where they got him, I couldn't have been happier. Really happy for the kid. And I think that, you know, for the first time in quite, it's probably really for the first time since Chad Pennington, you're going to have a young quarterback with some potential sitting behind an established veteran, really two established veterans. I love the fact that Tyrod Taylor will be not just in the QB room, but in, on the sidelines for Jordan to ask questions, you know, as things are unfolding on the field, and to get an answer from a guy who's been in the league for a very long time, and Tyrod Taylor. So this is a home run pick to me.
By the way, the Jets now have three quarterbacks with two first names. If you can't get excited about that, then you are truly dead inside.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. That was a good call. I didn't, that one slipped by me.
So the Jets ended up with two more fifth round picks in the end. Isaiah Davis, the running back from South Dakota State, goes at 173. This was a perplexing pick. I didn't understand it. Overall, I thought the Jets did fine in the draft, but this one was strange because they took Braylon Allen in the fourth round, and then to come back and take another running back at number 173. I'm not saying Isaiah Davis isn't a good player. He very well may be, but how many running backs do you need? You got Braylon Allen. You've got Breece Hall. I know that obviously they weren't all that high on Israel Banikanda if they were picking Braylon Allen, but if they're picking two running backs, then they are ultra not high on Israel Abanikanda. I saw somebody say that he's going to have to fight for a spot in training camp. That is an understatement. I think at this moment, he's more or less a dead man walking. He's going to have a phenomenal training camp to survive the cuts and not wind up trying to catch on somewhere else. I know that they want to make sure they have proper depth behind Breece Hall, but this is kind of crazy. Two running backs in one draft, especially when there were other needs they could have filled here.
Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable that in a draft where I took so much heat from fans for not wanting Olu Fashanu, because everyone was telling me about how important it is to get the reinforcements and depth on the O-line, which I agreed with, just didn't want it in that spot. And I'm the one saying they better be grabbing O-linemen throughout this draft, get a backup guard, get a backup center, get a Van Pran, get somebody like that. The Jets ended up taking more running backs than they did offensive linemen in this class, which is absolutely absurd. I have nothing against Davis, the player. I actually went into some of the highlights that I pulled during the season, forgetting that I had some stuff on him. And what I liked is that they used him in a really unique way. They used him as like a legitimate lead blocker on some quarterback runs, you know, up the middle where he's taking DBs out. So I love the style. And he's physically got the tools, but, and you know, also as a big Izzy Abanikanda guy, the writing is on the wall for him. Like this is a. It doesn't get any worse than this for a guy trying to make a team when they take two guys to play your position. I saw somebody say they thought, because Scott, that was a funny thing, right? We've heard a lot of people say the Jets are high on Abanikanda inside the building. And then I saw somebody say that they are high on Abanikanda, and it's going to be up to Isaiah Davis to blow them away to make the roster. But teams just very rarely cut rookie draft picks. At the very least, they'll put them on a practice squad, and that's usually your seventh rounders, your sixth rounders. So maybe he lands there, but it was such a with such a need at offensive line. That pick really shocked me that they didn't go get some more depth on the interior.
Yeah, I saw some people saying too, oh, this doesn't mean anything for Israel Abanikanda because he's a different style of running back than the other two guys. Those guys are big bruisers, and Abanikanda is the speed guy, and so you could have some sort of rotation. There's just not that many carries to go around. This isn't 1970 where you're going to have three or four running backs sharing the load. Breece Hall is going to get about 90% of the running back touches. From there, There's not going to be a ton left. And they'll probably have two more running backs. And right now, you have to figure they just drafted two new ones, and they didn't do it because they like Israel Abanikanda that much. They can say what they want to about how high they are on Israel Abanikanda, but drafting two running backs to potentially be in front of him, that doesn't really exude confidence in him to me. And obviously, it makes a lot of sense if you think about it and read the tea leaves. Look at what happened last year. You kept hearing about all the areas where he was deficient, and that's why he couldn't really get on the field. And so now you see that Israel Abanikanda, 1 year after being drafted by the Jets, is probably on very thin ice. The last pick of the fifth round, also made by the Jets here at number 176, Quantez Stiggers, the cornerback out of the CFL, the Toronto Argonauts. This was kind of crazy. I learned something today, Glenn, because I did not know that you had to draft somebody out of the CFL. Apparently, the rule is if you played in the CFL but you never went to college, you have to be drafted. I would have figured that if you played professional football, then it doesn't matter. You could just sign as a free agent. Not the case here. Quantez Stiggers, a crazy story, and we'll talk about this more later on because we'll do a whole show on him. We're going to do them on all the draft picks. But he never went to college, as I said, didn't play college football because he was trying to take care of his family, wound up playing in one of these fan leagues, then makes it to the CFL and ends up blowing everybody away last year. One of the best defensive backs in the entire CFL, still only 22 years old. So it's not like this is a guy like Nathan Shepard, who was 26 years old when he was chopping down trees in the Canadian forest. 22 years old because he never went to college and spent a couple of years playing in fan leagues and then makes it to the CFL. So an intriguing prospect here in Quantez Stiggers. He would provide depth at corner, presumably, but also maybe gets a look at safety here.
Yeah, I mean, what an incredible story indeed, Scott. And I'm sure you'll get into it more when you do the deep dive. But what I everything you said, I heard after the pick, that was amazing enough. Then I saw a clip of an interview with him. He only ended up, I don't know if you heard this part yet, he only ended up in the fan-operated league because his mom saw it online and clicked it to enroll him. He didn't even, his mother just signed him up for a football league, and now he's in the NFL, which is absolutely bonkers. And yeah, look, I don't know a lot about the guy because of the fact that he, you know, because he played in the CFL, there's not a lot of film on him. And I did, you know, I did look into him prior to the draft because, and well, when I say look into him, I read some scouting reports. I couldn't find anything on him, but we do have a couple of folks on the forums at Jet Nation who were Canadian and they like the Jets and they love the CFL. And I'd seen a couple of comments saying, you know, weeks ago, the Jets need to make a run at this kid, Stiggers. And I had no idea who he was. And that's why, you know, I looked at Emery Hunt's draft guide and, you know, the Emery raved about him in there. So it was like, all right, here's a guy worth keeping an eye on. And felt that, had the same thought too, Scott. I remember looking at it and I thought, well, he's already played pro football. Why can't he just, you know, why does he have to get drafted? But as you said, that's something they have in place.
Final pick for the Jets and the final pick of the 2024 NFL Draft, number 257, Mr. Irrelevant in the seventh round. The Jets take the safety out of Alabama, Jalen Key, older prospect, a transfer. He's 24 years old, big kid, 6'2", about 210 pounds. I thought Bo Braid from Maryland might be the pick here. It would have made some sense. I think Bo Braid is a guy that probably could have come in and competed for playing time right away. Maybe Jalen Key will as well because the Jets are very thin at safety. Is Ashton Davis going to be a starter? Is Chuck Clark going to be a starter? I'm not so sure. And then Tony Adams is okay, I suppose, but that's easily the weakest position the Jets have right now. So maybe Jalen Key comes in and competes for a spot. I thought it might be Bo Braid if they went safety, but ultimately a different direction. They go with the older, bigger Alabama product.
Yeah, I was really surprised by this too. Braid, shocked Braid went undrafted. And of course, he lands in a spot like Baltimore with the Ravens where, you know, he'll get every opportunity. But step chart, I would have thought they would have added him. Did grab one free agent safety, which we'll talk about in a second. But as far as getting Key in that spot, listen, you can, when you're talking round three, late round three, and it doesn't get any later than Mr. Irrelevant, if you take a shot on a guy out of Alabama who played for Nick Saban, I don't know how anybody could have a problem with it.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Glenn, Bo Breed was the player that I was most surprised wasn't drafted. In fact, if you look at it, and this doesn't always tell the full story, but Lance Zierlein over at NFL.com had him projected as a fourth-round pick. That's around where I thought he was going to go, but no such luck for him. However, he does wind up in a good situation in Baltimore, especially since he's already in Maryland. So I suppose if you're going to go undrafted, that's one of the better places to go undrafted too. Let's quickly run through the highlights of the other players that were picked on day three of the 2024 NFL draft. I'm just going to hit some of the players that stuck out to me. The first pick in round four was Chidavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas. He goes to the Panthers at 101. Big fan of his for obvious reasons as a Texas fan. Thought he could have been an interesting player in the Jets offense. Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon, goes at 102 to the Broncos. I like that pick. A bargain for sure. The problem with Franklin and why I think he didn't go higher, because he's built so lanky, teams were probably afraid of that. And so he slides to the fourth round, but he can really play for sure. Theo Johnson, another tight end out of Penn State, goes at 107 to the Giants. Quality player. I don't think he's as good as Chidavion Sanders, but still he should help replace Darren Waller, who everybody assumes is going to retire. Javon Baker, the wide receiver out of UCF, goes to the Patriots at 110. I think he's a good player and has a chance to be one of the better mid-round wide receivers in this draft. Was really good as a transfer at UCF. Devontae Walker goes to the Ravens, the wide receiver out of North Carolina at pick number 113. You just know, Glenn, that this is the type of player where if he went to a not-so-great team, he'd fall through the cracks, but somehow the Ravens will find a way to get productivity out of him in the pros. He's a guy that at one point people thought might be a second-round pick, but he didn't do so well in the workouts, wasn't great at the Senior Bowl, so he slid down into the fourth round. Javon Foster, a player you really liked, an offensive tackle out of Missouri, goes at 114 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tanner Bordellini, the center out of Wisconsin, big nasty player. That's pretty much all offensive linemen from Wisconsin. I think it's required that you got to be big and nasty. He goes to the Colts at number 117. Cade Stover, another tight end out of Ohio State, goes to the Texans at 123. Glenn, a safety that we both like, Malik Mustafa, goes at number 124 to the San Francisco 49ers. TJ Tampa, the cornerback out of Iowa State, goes to the Ravens at 130. There's another player that I really liked and I think is going to wind up being a very good player. Guys like that always find their way to teams like the Ravens. Somehow, Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State, goes at 133 to the Chiefs, one pick ahead of the Jets. You and I talked about him yesterday, Glenn. I was pretty surprised the Jets didn't just take him at number 111. I thought getting him at this spot would have been awesome value for the Jets because he could have come in and competed for playing time immediately. So I was surprised they didn't pick him. Big kid, very talented safety. He goes to the Chiefs at 133. And as I said before with the Ravens, you know Jaden Hicks going to the Chiefs is going to wind up being a really good player. Jacob Culling, a player that you and I have talked about quite a bit. Smaller guy, but very productive. He goes to the San Francisco 49ers at number 135, the slot receiver from the University of Arizona. In round five, Jordan McGee, the linebacker from Temple, goes to the Commanders at 139, another player that I think could have been useful for the Jets. How about this one? What a steal this wound up being for the Buffalo Bills. Another player that the Jets really should have considered in the fourth round, Cedric Van Pran, the center out of the University of Georgia, going to the Bills at number 141. That was one of my favorite picks of this draft. Huge steal. I think he can be a starter in short order, and the Jets are going to regret not taking him when he's playing against them two times a year for the foreseeable future. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the corner out of Louisville, who turned quite a few heads during his week at the Senior Bowl, including Sauce Gardner, by the way. He goes at 146 to the Tennessee Titans. Audric Estime, the running back out of Notre Dame, big power back, kind of like Braylon Allen, goes to the Broncos at 147. Tommy Eichenberg, really good linebacker out of Ohio State, goes to the Raiders at 148. Spencer Rattler, the Rattler Snake, the quarterback out of South Carolina. Finally, a quarterback goes off the board after the initial run of quarterbacks going back to Bo Nix at number 12. He gets picked at number 150 by the Saints. I thought this was a steal. Apparently, Rattler dropped in large part due to his participation in that QB1 reality show when he was in high school. He came off like an entitled jerk. All kinds of questions about his character based on that and a couple of other things. So he wound up going all the way in the fifth round. I think the Saints may have really gotten a steal there. Jalen Carles, the safety out of Missouri, goes to the Colts at 151. Really like him. Big kid, ball hawk. I think he could be a steal there for the Colts. Aeneas Smith, the slot receiver from Texas A&M, goes at number 152 to the Eagles. Another player that I really liked. I think he'll be a late round bargain for the Eagles. They also took Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker from Clemson. Not a big surprise. You heard from Nick Ferriera on the show yesterday that that was expected. And so at 155, the Eagles go with the legacy pick. Jamari Thrash, man, this draft had so many good receivers. He goes at number 156, the wide receiver out of Louisville, to the Cleveland Browns. Really good route runner. Not super fast, not all that big, but anytime you can run routes with the efficiency that he does, you have a chance to make it in the NFL. Mo Camara, dynamic pass rusher out of Colorado State, goes at number 158 to Miami. Some comparisons between Mo Camara and Bryce Huff. Christian Jones, the offensive tackle from Texas, goes at 162 to the Arizona Cardinals. He's a guy that would have gone a lot higher if it wasn't for significant injury concerns. Moving around six, another really good receiver, although a player that I'm not sure would have fit the Jets after they took Malachi Corley. Malik Washington, the slot receiver out of the University of Virginia. The Dolphins get him at 184. A very good player, but small, and that's why he went all the way at 184. Another receiver went right behind him, though, and he is not small. Johnny Wilson, the wide receiver out of Florida State, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles at 185. Glenn, you and I have talked about him. 6'7", 230 pounds, probably not thick enough to become a tight end. However, he's the type of player where it's a little bit of a boom or bust. If you bring him in and he doesn't get up to the type of technique that you'd like him to get to as a wide receiver and fix his hand issues with the drops, then he may end up floundering and being out of the league. But if you can find a way to coach him up, he could be a really effective receiver because, as the saying goes, you can't teach 6'7". Mekhi Wingo, the defensive tackle out of LSU, goes to the Lions at number 189. Joe Milton, who probably had the biggest arm in this entire draft, goes at number 193, the quarterback out of Tennessee, to the New England Patriots. So a little reminiscent here of what Washington did in 1994 when they drafted Heath Shuler in the top five and then drafted Gus Frerotte in the seventh round. Ironically, it was Gus Frerotte who wound up being the better NFL quarterback. Washington, of course, did something similar years later, taking RG3 at number two and Kirk Cousins in the third round. That was in 2012. A little different, though, because a third-round pick is a heck of a lot different than using a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick in 1994 on Gus Frerotte. Christian Mahogany, this was another steal, I thought. At number 210, the guard out of Boston College goes to the Detroit Lions. A lot of people thought he might go third or fourth round. I have to guess that there was either some sort of off-the-field issue or injuries going on with him that we didn't know about because I was stunned that he was still on the board at number 210. Bo Limmer, the center out of Arkansas, another guy that I thought was probably going to go a little bit higher. He goes at number 217 to the LA Rams. Devin Leary, the quarterback out of Kentucky, goes at 218 to the Baltimore Ravens. I was pretty surprised that he ended up going ahead of Michael Pratt, who we're going to get to in a little bit. I thought Pratt was probably going to be a fourth round pick, but Devin Leary, who I don't think has as much potential to eventually become a quality quarterback in the NFL, goes ahead of him. Brendan Rice, the son of legend Jerry Rice, the wide receiver out of USC, goes to the Chargers at number 225, so he stays in the state of California. Another shocker. I thought he was probably going to be around a fourth-round pick. He and Luke McCaffrey seem to be gaining some steam, both legacy players. Of course, Brendan Rice, the son of Jerry Rice, Luke McCaffrey, the brother of Christian McCaffrey, the son of Easy Ed McCaffrey. But it was Luke McCaffrey who ended up going much higher at number 100. Brendan Rice all the way in the seventh round at number 225. I wonder if there's something we don't know there. Jaheim Bell, the tight end out of Florida State, goes at number 231 to the New England Patriots. I like Jaheim Bell a lot. He's going to have to put on some weight to be an effective tight end in the NFL, but a real natural pass catcher. I liked what I saw from him at Florida State. Taj Washington, the wide receiver from USC, goes at number 241 to the Miami Dolphins, only a few picks behind his teammate Brendan Rice. The aforementioned Michael Pratt out of Tulane, the quarterback, goes at 245 to the Packers. Quarterback controversy with Jordan Love? No, I'm just kidding. I don't think that's the case, but really good value there for the Packers at number 245. Maybe they can develop Michael Pratt into something, and he either becomes a reliable backup or they can auction him off in a trade, which is what they've done with several quarterbacks in the past, if you'll recall. The two that really stick out to me are Mark Brunell, who they ended up trading away to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Matt Hasselbeck, who went to the Seattle Seahawks. Ladarius Henderson, the guard from Michigan, goes to the Houston Texans at number 249. A lot of quality offensive linemen on that national champion Michigan Wolverines team, and Henderson was the last of them to get drafted here on day number 3. And the last guy I'm going to mention is Kalen King, the cornerback out of Penn State. He goes at 255 to the Packers. I thought he might have been Mr. Irrelevant also. I mentioned Bo Braid before. I thought the Jets might have taken Kalen King at 257 because Sauce was really talking him up. So maybe he could have been the depth that they needed at cornerback, and the Jets could have brought him in, and he and Sauce would have had a real nice bond and rapport, and maybe Sauce could have taken him under his wing. So day number 3 of the NFL draft, beyond what the Jets did, those were the picks that stood out to me. Glenn, any that stood out to you beyond what I mentioned?
I'll just throw a couple out there. One that that impacts the Jets in a negative way, a guy I think a lot of us really liked, Jalen Wright going to the Miami Dolphins. They can't get enough guys who just need one, you know, they just need one cut or a small sliver of space to squeeze through, and they explode for a big gain. Jalen Wright obviously fits that bill, led all of college football in runs of 10 yards or more. So that's a really big get for them. Ray Davis for Buffalo, they got another running back, really good player, impressed down in Mobile, had better hands than I realized when I started watching him earlier this year. Really good job by them there. Jaden Hicks, you mentioned him. It was tough, Scott, watching some of these guys come off the board that the Jets would have had a chance at if they'd hung tight with those picks, and passing some of these guys up was really surprising to me. I think that Cam Hart is one of those guys too with the need at corner. I know they went and got Stiggers, but he ends up going to the Chargers. And Van Pran, and as I said at the beginning, seeing all these guys, all these interior linemen who could have helped the Jets, like I looked at Van Pran as a guy, if you take him, he could push for a starting job year one. He could try to push John Simpson, but obviously the Jets didn't feel that way, and they didn't really do much on the O-line. Rattler was an interesting one going where he did. Actually, Hertz saw some mocks that had him going to New Orleans, and that was a tough one for us, because we kind of, especially for me in recent weeks, you know, Travis had been my top choice for the middle rounds, but the more I watched of Rattler, I kind of preferred him. And then I had Travis above Pratt in that order. Brennan Jackson, a guy that I really liked, and I'm glad he went where he did. Obviously, he still went late. He goes 154 to the Rams, but he was a guy that I loved at Washington State, and I really felt like a lot of the mocks and a lot of the simulators, they all had him as like a you know, a round seven UDFA type. And I watched him enough that I thought, how does this guy not go in the fourth or fifth round? So it was nice to see him go a little bit higher than a lot of people had anticipated. Cause, you know, hard worker, good kid, you know, spoke to him briefly in Mobile, seemed like a really good kid. Christian Jones was surprising going where he did. That was a conversation we had while we were live saying, you know, why is Christian Jones still out there? Especially when you look at how many tackles are getting snapped up. And even if you're going to take a guy who's going to be a backup in the, you know, second, third, fourth round, why wouldn't you take a Christian Jones? So for him to go to one at 162, unless there's some issues we're unaware of, I think he's a real steal in that spot. Giants got Tyrone Tracy, who's, you know, one of my favorite backs in this class. So we'll see how he pans out there with them. Then, of course, round six, another tackle, Walter Rouse, comes off the board, the other tackle out of Oklahoma. So some decent tackles late in this class, at least, you know, guys that I think could develop into players. Taewon Palmer, a wide receiver at a University of Alabama, Birmingham. He went to the Cardinals at 191. He's a guy the Jets had in for a visit and I thought was an interesting prospect. Great yards per catch average and had some plays where he was able to run away from the defense, but also some plays where they drew it up really nice and he was basically uncovered. So I guess with him, I was just more curious. Was it the player or the scheme that got him his production? But we'll find out in time. Jaden Crumity, Mississippi State defensive tackle. If you watch them and you watch the way they use Crumity, and he tested out very athletically, they like to line him up, you know, at a DT spot, but kind of stand up and move around a little bit before the snap and attack the center or the guard from a weird angle or a weird position. And I think that was just Mississippi State taking advantage of Crumity's athleticism. So I had him to the Jets in a couple of different mocks that I did. He ends up, you know, going elsewhere. Jordan Whittington, who you're familiar with, Scott, he was somebody who a couple of years ago was viewed as the best receiver on that Texas team. And then come to, you know, I think he did have some injuries, and then they had all these other guys emerge, and he kind of fell into the background. A very talented guy at the bottom of a talented group. Devin Leary was somebody we mentioned on our show a couple weeks ago. I really hoped that the mock draft machines had it right with this one, and the mock, you know, everybody who had him going undrafted, because he was my top choice as a UDFA for the Jets at quarterback if they were to bring somebody in. He obviously gets picked at the back of the sixth round. And then going into round seven, Trey Taylor, Air Force safety, going to the Raiders. He's, you know, as someone who spent some time in the Air Force, I always like the idea of getting some academy guys onto the Jets. It rarely ever happens. Had the offensive lineman a couple years ago who was gone after less than a year. So we'll see how that works out for him. Michael Juergens, honestly, a guy I'd kind of forgotten about. I was on the Michael Juergens train early last year after Cam Juergens, no relation, but I was a big Cam Juergens guy. He went to the Eagles, and then in the months that followed, when I started watching more prospects, there was another Juergens who also played center, so I thought they must be related, but they weren't. But Michael Juergens, a center out of Wake Forest, I thought looked pretty good, and thought he would have been an option for the Jets when I saw him last year, and probably pre-Tippmann, if I'm remembering correctly. The Pratt pick was obviously a bit of a surprise. A lot of people had him going before Jordan Travis. Didn't play out that way, and wholly agree on Kalen King. At a Penn State, I thought that could have been a possibility for the Jets to give them some depth in that secondary.
Glenn, last but not least, let's talk a little bit about the undrafted free agents. The big one here for the Jets, Leonard Taylor, the interior defensive lineman out of the University of Miami. A lot of people thought he might go in the mid rounds. He goes undrafted. I thought that was the best signing for the Jets, but they got about a dozen guys. If you wouldn't mind, Glenn, run through them for us quickly.
Yeah, I'll go through the names. A couple of them I'm familiar with, others not so much. They brought in Darren Granger, quarterback out of Georgia State, went through the library of highlights. I did have a couple of runs from him. Didn't see a lot of him as a passer, but he does have the mobility, which of course we know is pretty much you've got to have it in today's game if you're going to play. Maybe he's just a camp arm, maybe he's a practice squad guy. Who knows? But the tall quarterback, 6'3", 6'4", and runs really well. There's Tyler Harrell. Here's an interesting one, Scott. Tyler Harrell, I tweeted about him a couple times leading up to the draft. There was some buzz he didn't attend the combine, but there was buzz that he was the one guy who could threaten, and it, I know it wouldn't be official, but there were those who thought he could threaten Xavier Worthy's 40 time, because Harrell reportedly on a visit with Louisville, he transferred a couple times, which is always a little bit of a red flag, but on a visit to Louisville, reportedly ran a 4.19. And he didn't have a very productive college career outside of a few years ago. His final year at Louisville, he averaged, now he had, I want to say 26, sorry, he averaged 29 yards. That's, you're hearing that correctly. He averaged 29 yards per catch on something like eight. He had like 18 receptions for 500 yards. It was absolutely through the roof. So he was a guy that you look at and you think with that kind of speed, all, you know, that's world-class speed. I was interested in seeing where he would go. He lands with the Jets. Listen, he may be a camp body who ends up, you know, off the roster in a matter of weeks, but just a guy that I see zero harm in bringing him in for a look. Liked what I was able to find on him prior to the draft. Lincoln Sefcik, South Alabama. Honestly, only got a chance to watch South Alabama very recently, and that was to get a look at Carter Bradley, their quarterback. Didn't really notice Sefcik. He didn't put up many numbers. I looked, you know, maybe 200 yards on the year, so not sure what the Jets, you know, in such limited reps, who knows what teams glean from that little bit they get as a sample size. Brady Latham, a guard from Arkansas, thought he was a solid player, you know, thought maybe possibly a day three pick, primarily played left guard in college for Arkansas, almost exclusively played one game at right tackle that I could find. The two big ones, though, Scott, that really have a chance, and really, I'd say there are three who have a shot here. You mentioned Leonard Taylor out of Miami. He's a guy that, as you said, a lot of people had a mid-round grade on him. He ends up going undrafted, was one of the highest recruited guys out of high school. I believe he was a five-star, one of the top DTs in the country. Production fell off a little bit this year, but it sounds as if it may have been similar to a Will McDonald situation where he got moved around a little bit and not playing in a spot that was suited for him. The other one is Braden McGregor, edge out of Michigan. Liked him going into the Senior Bowl. Didn't do as much as I had hoped while we were down there, but the motor is absolutely off the charts. He's a guy, doesn't have as much bend as you would like, but the Jets, with what they have on defense and the way they have managed to develop defensive players in recent years, I think McGregor is a guy to keep an eye on. Jackson Sermon, linebacker out of Cal. Again, very limited opportunity to watch him, but looked athletic, looked like he was good in coverage. And I think he had some pretty solid coverage grades. I'd have to double check that. Jimmy Ciarlo from out of Army. He's a guy that it sounds, you know, in looking at people who are familiar with him and what they're saying about him, everyone's saying kind of keep an eye on him as a special teamer because he was an absolute monster for Army in that role. The last two, Jarius Monroe out of Tulane, cornerback, Trey Jenkins out of San Jose State, a safety. Didn't get to watch much or any of either of those guys. And the thing with these, Scott, as you know, the UDFAs, they get announced, and then things change, and a player has a change of heart. And it looks like Shaheem Battle, safety from NC State, who was earlier listed as a Jet, is no longer on here. He was who I thought would be the third big one, being a safety, being a solid player, as a guy who had a shot to make the roster. He may have moved on, and he may have agreed with a different team after it was reported he agreed with the Jets.
Glenn Naughton, editor, Jet Nation, thanks so much for coming on and recapping day number three of the 2024 NFL Draft with me. Really appreciate it. Check out everything Glenn's doing over at Jet Nation. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. We've got some awesome film reviews up. Olufoshanu's up there. Malachi Corley's up there. You're going to get Braylon Allen soon, a couple of others. So make sure you subscribe and watch the videos, youtube.com/playlikeajet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.